from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, March 30th. Coming up, we'll hear perspectives on the Russian invasion of Ukraine from professors of history, religion, and political science. That story from Rich Egger is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Champaign Unifor teachers have a tentative contract agreement with the district. In an email to union members early this morning, Champaign Federation of Teachers leadership says there will be a vote for teachers to ratify the contract on Tuesday, April 5th. That's the day teachers had planned to go on strike. Speaking at a listening session with parents last night, just before a bargaining session, CFT co-president Mike Sitch said Unit 4 did not budge on its contract offer until teachers voted last month to allow a strike.
And it reinforces the behavior that we've learned to engage in over the course of the last 15 years, to get to a spot and then threaten each other with stuff.
Details of the tentative agreement were not immediately available, but the biggest point of contention was a longer elementary school day. The Unit 4 school board had proposed to lengthen the day by 45 minutes next school year, while teachers offered to lengthen it by 15 minutes, with the possibility of further extensions in future years. Incarcerated people in Illinois who are up for a possible early release are going to have to wait another month to get their cases heard. That's because the board that deals with those requests no longer has enough members to meet. Caroline Kobzanski explains.
Two of Governor J.B. Pritzker's appointees for the Illinois Prisoner Review Board were rejected by the state Senate this week, and another appointee resigned. But Pritzker is doubling down on restorative justice, despite bipartisan resistance to his choices. He says he wants to see people who have served serious time get a second chance.
It's very easy just to say this person committed an awful crime some many years ago and to say we're going to throw away the key, leave them all in prison. But I don't think that's what people wanted when we created the Prisoner Review Board.
The group has come under bipartisan fire as politicians try to address rising crime ahead of elections in November. I'm Caroline Kobzanski.
There's a bipartisan push in Springfield to confront increasingly brazen retail shoplifting rings. Democratic State Senator Susie Glowiak-Hilton joined Republicans and the Illinois Retail Merchants Association in proposing new legislation to address the problem. The group wants to create a new criminal law to deal with organized retail theft that's hit commercial districts largely in Chicago and the suburbs. One high-end store in the Oak Brook Center shopping mall in Hilton's district lost $100,000 in merchandise during a heist last fall.
I've lived in the western suburbs for over 30 years, and I've never seen anything like these brazen attacks on our stores.
The proposed legislation would make it a felony for shoplifting rings to steal large volumes of merchandise and then resell it. Lawmakers have until April 8th to pass the measure. That's when their spring legislative session is scheduled to end. Still to come, we'll hear from a panel of professors at Western Illinois University on the Russian invasion of Ukraine. That story from Mitch Egger is coming up next on 217 Today.
Food is at the center of our lives here in Illinois. All of us eat it, many of us grow it, some of us might be struggling to afford it. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom's agriculture reporter. I'm working to tell the stories that affect us all, from the food supply chain to food insecurity. Listen for my reports on AM 580 and FM 90.9, and look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Russia invaded Ukraine more than a month ago. Faculty members at Western Illinois University are examining the ongoing conflict and providing context for what's happening through historical, religious, and political lenses. Rich Egger reports.
Russian President Vladimir Putin was previously a KGB agent loyal to the idea of the Soviet Union. WIU history professor Richard Filipink says as a result, Putin considers the collapse of the USSR the greatest historical tragedy of the 20th century. Filipink says Putin has made it clear during his two decades in power that he intends to restore the Soviet Union.
In a very real sense, this is a bit of continuity with the originator of this idea in the 20th century, Joseph Stalin. In a very real sense, Vladimir Putin is sort of the dollar store version of Joseph Stalin.
Philip Hink says Ukraine and Russia have a long history. In just the past century, Ukraine declared independence from Russia toward the end of World War I. He says Stalin retook it by 1920, and in the 1930s, Stalin imposed a man-made famine in Ukraine, killing close to 4 million people. He says Stalin also declared Ukraine to be a myth and barred teaching Ukrainian history, language, and folk songs, and banned speaking about the famine he created. Philip Hink says Putin is using the same playbook, so it's not surprising he's attempting to destroy Ukraine and brutalize it in the process. Philip Hink and two other WIU faculty members talked about the Ukrainian crisis during a panel discussion. One of the other speakers is Betsy Perabo. She's a religious studies professor at Western. Perabo says it's common in the history of Christianity for religious and political leaders to claim that a war is divinely blessed. She says that's true even though Jesus was recorded as saying, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you."
We see Christians and their leaders behaving as if their own worldly kingdom is the one and only kingdom of God, that this kingdom must be defended or expanded by striking others or engaging in much more violent forms of fighting, and displaying an attitude towards their enemies that does not look anything like love.
And Perabo says the current leader of the Russian Orthodox Church, Patriarch Kirill, has justified the Russian invasion of Ukraine in religious terms.
In particular, he suggests that Russia is really fighting to overcome the immorality found in Ukraine to ensure the flourishing of true Christianity.
She says Kirill also claims the conflict is the result of the West's efforts to drum up tensions between Russians and Ukrainians. He has not claimed that the current conflict is a holy war, but Perabo says it's possible Russian leaders will try to connect the ideas of church, state, and war. Political science associate professor Greg Baldy called the Russian invasion of Ukraine one of the most significant events in Europe since the Cold War ended with the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991.
The images that we've seen, armored columns, fleeing refugees, cities reduced to rubble by airstrikes, have shocked many. And I would say that for many of us, these were images that seemed to belong to a different time.
Baldy says Putin asserted on the eve of the invasion that Ukraine was not a real country, but rather a part of Russia. He says Putin also claimed Ukraine had allied itself with Russia's enemies to weaken Russia and bring about regime change. But Baldy says many observers feel the invasion is really about the threat Putin and his regime see from a democratized Ukraine that's allied to Western democracies.
In attacking a democratic Ukraine, he hopes not only to overthrow its government, but also convince other countries of the region that democracy is not a viable option in the long term for them.
Ukraine gained independence in 1991 with the dissolution of the Soviet Union, but remained close with Russia. However, the impeachment of pro-Russian President Viktor Yanukovych in 2014 increased tensions. He was replaced with the more pro-European president, Petro Poroshenko, later that year, and in 2018 by current president Volodymyr Zelensky, who is also pro-West. Baldy says although the Russian invasion of Ukraine happened in February, fighting has been going on in a border region between the two countries for several years. Rich Egger reporting.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be mostly cloudy, windy, and warmer today, with showers and thunderstorms likely, and a high of 70 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Caroline Kobzanski, Dave McKinney, and Rich Egger. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.